Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome aboard, John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. And we appreciate you being a part of the show. I also appreciate Alan on social media jumping in with us. And these numbers here, as Alan's trying to go, I'm trying to figure out these numbers. Trying to figure out these numbers. Just try to figure it out. Watch it close. Is that the number? Just stick with CDC.gov. Stick with them. Stick with those numbers. Stick with CDC. Don't stick with, if you're going with ABC, NBC, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, stick with CDC.gov. Best place that you can go for the true numbers, the understanding of it in this area. I had a gentleman saying yesterday, can't believe Texas. Texas is crazy. What is Texas doing? Oh, my gosh. Look at Texas. What idiots. And I'm like, did you realize that Texas is 40th in the country? 40th. Right now, in deaths per million residents, deaths per million, Texas is right now 40th in the country as of yesterday's numbers. There's a lot of people. Get away from the hysteria and get away from the whatever filter you like hearing your news from. Get out of that filter. Because every single one of them, whether you are on whatever side of the political spectrum or other, they've all got an agenda in how they're spoon-feeding you this story. So get away from it. Folks at the CDC, I happen to live fairly close. They do a really good job. They do a really good job. And by the way, nobody has been perfect in this, because you got to say, well, the CDC was wrong about this and Dr. Fauci was wrong about that and everything. Look, they've all been wrong. And guess what? I don't know about you. Maybe you do. Maybe you're, I can't go a week at work without making a mistake. Maybe you can. Maybe you're some flawless individual. I'm not expecting any of these people to be able to execute things perfectly. So I'm not holding myself to one standard and then everybody else in the that are, by the way, dealing with like life or death issues. I deal with sports, for God's sakes. And I can't have a perfect week. Still, I've never had a perfect week. You're always welcome to join us at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS, and I'll get to your calls coming up. But first off this hour, I love this, that everybody is going to have to decide, and it sticks to our main topic of the day today, your main street of this pandemic story is different than the main street in downtown Manhattan or maybe in New Jersey. If you're living in Atlanta, you're living in Virginia, you're living in Texas, you're living in Arizona, you're living in Nevada, you're living in Nebraska, your main street has a far different story to tell about the pandemic than the streets of Manhattan. And that's understandable. Very understandable. But one of the things is there's going to be parts of this country that are like, dude, I've seen nothing but nonsense for 3 or 4 weeks. It's been terrible. 6 weeks. I've been locked in my house and my community's still locked down and everything. I'm not going to a stadium. I don't think sports is ready to come back. I don't think this is right. And guess what? Every one of us is going to get to make that personal decision. I laughed how the national media freaked out about my state, Georgia. Georgia's opening up bowling alleys and tattoo parlors and nail salons and hair salons. What are they doing? These people are idiots. Well, 10 days later, by the way, just to tell you, we're still trending pretty okay, and we're trending in the right direction, and everybody's okay. And unlike you, I saw on national media, there are not bodies piling up in the streets. We're doing okay, and our health professionals are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. But the idea that everybody's going to be the same in like the world of college sports. If you haven't figured it out this week, the Southeastern Conference has made it clear there is going to be college football this fall. The SEC is planning on college football this fall, and they're going to have college football this fall. And now the member universities are slowly but surely saying, yes, we will have classes on campus. And if you notice, we're now to around, I think by the number I was looking at, trying to look at this morning, around 40% of the Power Five conference schools. So we're talking about SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12. Around 40% of them have said students will be on campus this fall. They went out and made the announcement this week. I've been told those numbers will be better than 2/3 probably within 2 weeks. Because the school's got to start making decisions here. Because I can tell you this is the unforeseen consequence. If one major university says, we're not going to have students on campus, we're going to take it really, really cautious. And guess what? They have a right to do so. And people slamming them for it? I don't know how you expect every single community or every single school to handle things the same way. But the SEC is going to have, they're going to have their kids on campus, and they're planning on having college football. And I thought a campus, so the SEC has said, look, if the Big Ten didn't want to have a season, if the Big 12 doesn't want to have a season, if the Pac-12 doesn't want to have a season, they're absolutely within their rights to do so. And in my opinion, as long as it's being done with proper science behind it and they feel like it's too risky, then they have every right to do so. And they answer to their community, and they answer to their student bodies, and they answer to their areas of the country. I'm not a doctor. Most likely you're not either, of infectious medicine, that you'd understand this enough. So I'm not going to say that every one of them needs to be back or whatever. But the SEC is going to have a season. And they're going to play football. We'll talk to Barrett Salee in the next hour from CBS Sports HQ. And it could be a situation where you have one conference goes and another conference decides to sit it out. The Northwestern athletic director is on the record saying he doesn't think it would be appropriate to play college football if students weren't on campus. Okay. He's entitled to that opinion. It's funny. Nobody cares about college football players playing when students aren't on campus in bowl season. When the students are home at Christmas and the players are on campus practicing, and then the players are representing their schools playing when there's no class and no students on campus. So I don't know where that decision would come from. But I wonder about a conference like the ACC. Because I promise you, Clemson, North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, that area of the country, Florida State, they're going to be ready to play football. The legit old school ACC. But are they going to be able to get Boston College to want to play? Is Syracuse going to want to play? And here would be my message. If the ACC has to go with, I don't know, 8 teams this year, you go with 8 teams. You rework your schedule. It's a special year. Put an asterisk next to it. Whatever it is, it's a special year. But the 8 member schools that want to play shouldn't sit out for the member schools that don't want to play. And by the way, the member schools that don't want to play should have no share of the revenues. No share of the television revenues. They should not be bellying up to the table for a check. If you choose not to play, if you choose and say, we're not, and I don't want to use the word scared because that skews the conversation. If you're concerned that you don't want to go forward with the season, that's fine. But you don't deserve any of the pot. You don't deserve any of the TV money. You don't deserve to share in any of the revenues that the conference brings in. You get to make your own choices in life. If your business opens up tomorrow, if your business is back to work tomorrow, and you are too concerned to go to work, you say, I'm too concerned. I'm still concerned about coronavirus. I can't go to work. Well, guess what? Then quit your job. Then you have to quit the job because it's back to work time. And it's okay. You have the right to do whatever you want. You can say, I'm too concerned. I don't want to do that. But they shouldn't have to keep your job open for you. You're making that choice. I can't go. I'm too concerned. I hate it when I hear people use the word scared because I think that skews the conversation. If I'm too concerned, I can make that choice. I'm very well to be able to do so. And so are all these college football programs. They get to make that choice too. But you know what? You don't get to share in the revenues. You don't get to just get the free money and decide that you're too concerned to be a part of it. 855-212-4CBS, Sabah, North Carolina joins us. Sabah, how are you this morning, darling?
Well, buddy, I'm doing great now that I've listened to you right when I wake up in the morning. So
that's good. Good. Get your day off on the right foot. That's the way to do
That's right. Hey, I'm on your Main Street kind of thing.
Yes.
I'm curious if I saw this written somewhere, so I don't want to take all credit for it. But if Montana had 1,242 deaths per million and New York had 15 deaths per million, would New York be shut down?
It would not.
Would anybody?
It would not. It's
Montana.
Well, that's why Sabah, the hysteria over, oh my gosh, can you believe Georgia? Oh my gosh, can you believe Florida? And people are looking at it through the prism because the national media is in New York.
Right.
So they're in the middle of the destruction. They're in the middle of this horrible pandemic where it doesn't touch. You know what it's like in the South. There are urban areas, and then there's sprawling open land.
Yeah. Carolina's already announced that they're going to be open for students in the fall. So they already made that announcement.
Exactly. And that's why.
So I thought that was interesting,
right.
Because I guess New York wants to be like, if we're going to sink, everybody else is sinking with us.
I think it's more as there's concern, and that's the way it goes. I hope you're doing well. I got to run. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think it's more out of concern because I don't like it. I heard a host earlier this week on sports radio using the term, if you're too scared to go, and I don't believe that's fair because I think that skews the argument. But if your school or your community is too concerned to go, then they have that right. And your elected officials were put in place by you, and you can decide if you like them or not next time they come up for re-election. And you can decide if you like the way that they've handled this. But just remember, the people who bring you the story on the national news, they're in the midst of this. They're living this every day. They're feeling it every day. But they don't understand what it's like on main streets all around the country and in communities all around the country. And they never care to understand. They care to mock it. And the national media loves mocking the American South more than any other. And being from the Northeast, I can tell you, there is an elitism and a snobism to the Northeast over the American South that exists. And anyone who tries to spin it to you otherwise is lying. Is lying. It's a look down your nose. Even though when you look at it, those southern states handled it a lot better. Seem to handle it a lot better. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. This is a great policy right now. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that's going to last your full policy term. How about that? Visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility. Why is Joe Burrow smarter than you? I'll tell you next. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
As long as we've got each other, we got the world spinning right in our hands. As long as we got each other, we're always together on Sunday mornings here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Some upbeat TV theme songs this morning. Trying to keep you a little smile on your face. You're getting inundated with gloom and doom, let's be honest. And a lot of Knicks talk. And recaps of 25 years ago baseball games. It's been a little... The pandemic has hit hard. It has hit hard. Anthony, I don't know the last time we've done a show where I've said to you, you know what we're going to do today? What was your greatest moment of like a playoff game you saw 25 years ago? I don't remember. We haven't done that show yet. Should we do it next week? Or do you think we should pass?
Should we fall in line with everyone else?
No, I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to make a strange program decision and skip that. Because my thought process would be 25 years ago, that game that some caller finds really, really interesting, most likely the majority of the listening audience didn't watch. Because they were probably like 7 or 8 or below, or maybe not even born. And they're going to get bored. So I'm going to skip that.
But that doesn't mean that you can't have an appreciation or be into it just because you were young or you weren't around.
You can. I've heard some in depth discussions over whether Joe Torre should have pinch run somebody in the third inning of a divisional playoff game from 1996.
That's going a little
that
too
I
far
just that me. I just like say. I don't know that the rest of the country cares about that at all. I think the rest of the country would honestly say, and I think, honestly, the majority of people, like, I mean, to think of games 24 years ago, the guys, if it's really in their wheelhouse, then they're in their 40s. If it's really in their wheelhouse, they're in their 40s. And you just a little hint, your age of your audience may be a little... Maybe a little different. 855-212-4CBS. Why is Joe Burrow smarter than Anthony Pierano and me? Not just Anthony. At Tony Pierano on Twitter, by the way. Why is he smarter than us? Anthony, you know what his first expenditure is? He's gotten forwarded money now that he's going to have his... He's going to come to a contract, so he's getting some advance money. You know what his first expenditure is?
Is he buying a house?
Well, no, he's going to buy a house. He already said that. Yeah. But his first expenditure... A personal chef. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine having a personal chef? Can you imagine what kind of shape you'd be able to get into if you had a personal chef preparing all your meals healthily?
That's just as important as putting in the workouts. Got to eat right.
And they're trying to get Joe. They're trying to get Joe to put on 25 pounds, I think, or 20 pounds, 25 pounds. Because honestly, did you see him on draft night? And we just had Joe on the Shaqcast a few weeks ago, and he's absolutely awesome, great guy. But honestly, he looked like a bad knockoff Yo MTV Raps rapper with that baseball cap on and everything. He looked pencil thin. He looked really thin and everything. I'm worried about him getting his butt beat. All right, Jim in Baltimore joins us on the John Kincaid Show. Jim, do you have a personal chef? They're in Baltimore?
I wish.
No?
I can cook pretty well myself.
Okay, what is your go-to meal?
My go-to meal?
That you can cook.
I would say short ribs, braised, and stout beer.
Oh, dude. They're okay, good, what if it's for the lady in your life? Well, you're trying to put on the nice dinner for the lady in your life.
Chicken tetrazzini, maybe.
Dude, you got game, man.
Yeah,
you have game.
I was single 30 years, man.
Okay, you got game then. Okay, good. Yeah. How many women did you make that chicken tetrazzini for? I won't ask you that on the record.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute.
His go-to meal. Oh, it looks like a chicken tetrazzini night. And Paco Rabanne, too. There you go. What do you got for me, Jim?
Hey, Jonathan, I heard the numbers you were putting out earlier, right?
Yes.
So, and I did what you said. I went on to the Center of Disease Control. And they're not reporting what you are. They're showing 64,000 deaths, 1,829 new ones.
37,000 to COVID, and then 30-some thousand to pneumonia.
No.
Yes, I'm looking right. I'm looking right at it right here on my screen. 37,000 to COVID, and 30 some thousand to attributed to pneumonia.
I got the CDC.gov website.
You know what I'll do? I'll shoot you the link so you can see it. I'll put it up there on social media so you can see it. They adjusted, but that same
So I went to Google and I fact checked it.
Yes.
Right? And it said that. Now, this is on BuzzFeed. Okay?
Well, no, you can't go BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed's not a so you might as well go to Wikipedia.
Well, you can't go to BuzzFeed. I went to CDC first now. Okay?
Well, Jim,
but
though.
It said that several tweets went viral Saturday, falsely accusing the Center for Disease Control of drastically revising their numbers.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal, Jim. The numbers that when they, the same page that now says 37,000, said 66,000 some yesterday morning, and then they changed that page. So it didn't falsely accuse them of anything. They can show them the screenshots of where those numbers were changed. But what they did is they just broke it down differently into how many COVID patients died of pneumonia. So now you get into pneumonia deaths, which are chronic this time of year, that time of year, and how many deaths maybe being attributed, they broke it down. And I'll show you the page. I'll tweet it out there. That page changed in a 24-hour period because they decided to break it down differently. Now, it's not anything nefarious, as I said. It's not anything nefarious, but...
I got you. I'm just saying that I accessed this right after you said that, okay? And right now, when it's paid,
well, I'll show you, Jim, I'll show you, I'll send you the page. I'll put it out on social media. I'll send you the page because with their, and by the way, don't, and appreciate your call. Don't do BuzzFeed. Please don't do BuzzFeed. Don't do, it's like saying, well, on Wikipedia, it says, you know, I'm one of the most famous people from my hometown in Wikipedia. You've seen on the homepage of Broomall, Pennsylvania, I'm one of the most famous residents of my hometown.
Yeah, you wrote that in your Wikipedia page?
No, it's the Wikipedia page of Broomall, Pennsylvania. And I'm one of the most famous residents. I'm right above David Miscavige from Scientology. I'm right above him. I mean, seriously, Miscavige can't even beat me out. Trey in Jacksonville joins us. Trey, how are you, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Trey, have the beaches have opened up, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, because we go to the beach south of Jacksonville in Hammock Beach. I don't know if you know Hammock Beach or not.
I like St. Augustine Beach.
Okay, beautiful. Absolutely. Well, we go to the beach south of St. Augustine. So things are trending well. You guys have done really well with this, the Jacksonville area.
Well, we have a strong governor and... a mayor that's real involved, so it's pretty interesting. It's Southeast Georgia here. We joke about that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it really is Southeast Georgia.
So I have a comment about what you said about the whole Northeast versus the Southern.
Yes,
kind of looking down on the hayseed, if you will, and that really did get me hot under the collar. And
why did that get you hot under the collar?
Because I'm from Texas originally, and so I went to Texas A&M, and A&M was always considered kind of the hayseed school in Texas. University of Texas was the elite.
The more blue blood, right?
Yeah, it was the doctor's sons, the physicians, lawyers, and we called them T-SIPs because they were, you know, from the big city. And
you called them what? You called them what?
T-SIPs.
What does that mean? They sip tea?
They would sip their tea.
Oh, okay.
And all the farm boys that went to A&M,
oh,
so
yeah.
There was that rivalry.
Absolutely.
And so I grew up in that culture. And so the whole thing about A&M and the underdog, you know, we left the Big 12 and went to the SEC. And I was pretty happy about that because I really like the whole SEC and what they bring to the table and the network. And I'm really excited about SEC football this year and what A&M and Florida are going to bring to the table.
Well, you should be. I mean, you really should be.
I think we're bringing an amazing team, and I think Florida, you know, A&M was, academically, A&M is a good school. And so we came to the SEC pretty buttoned up. We have an incredible student body. that's active and very, you know, that's in our culture to be team-oriented. And so I know that we're going to fill those stadiums come football season.
Correct. And you will. And the thing is, does it bother you, though, the way it's being portrayed that you, well, let's just say that you might be, you're being too, it's too soon. Like, no one can tell the experience from your main street and your state like they can, you know, it is, like, they can't do that the same way that they would tell it what it is in their state. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that's just the whole media approaches everything from broad strokes, universal, and you can't still have to localize everything.
And by the way, as you, I hope you will agree with me on, it is absolutely a thing where it comes from all sides too. Use those broad strokes. It's not just one side. Like, I mean, people try to make it out there's a left media and a right media. If they don't believe that both sides of the media are trying to sell you a tale and try to sell you a story, they're out of their minds.
Absolutely. And, you know, being an Aggie, I know that there's a term that Aggies use that when you're a very gung-ho Aggie, I can't say it on radio, but we understand that when you're so gung-ho on something, you have to approach things in the middle and be diplomatic. But I guarantee you we're going to be accused of being ignorant hayseeds and not looking at the data because we're good old boys and we want to watch that football.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does get me mad. I mean, we're not a bunch of country come to town folks.
Right. And I've heard that expression too. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Plus, Aggies got a ton of money, man. That's a fan base with a ton of money. Absolutely. They know how to generate the money. They're doing it. By the way, we've got one of the greatest false narratives in sports was shot down. And how it was shot down? With logic. That's next. Hopefully the women aren't going to be too mad at us. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Hey, God. Different strokes it takes. Different strokes it takes. Different strokes to rule the world. Did you know, Anthony? Everybody's got a special kind of story. Everybody finds a way to shine. But no matter what you got, not a lot. So what? They'll have theirs, you'll have yours, and I'll have mine. And together we'll be fine. You know, it takes different strokes. It's just as we've talked about today, your main street compared to the main street of this entire pandemic in sports and news and everything that we've been discussing this morning. And I appreciate so many of you checking in from all corners of the globe here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, whether you're listening on your great CBS Sports Radio local affiliates, the radio.com app. You can listen at, Sirius XM 206, wherever you're listening, you can do that. All right, before I get back to the states of Ohio, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Alaska, which is where we're going to go coming up with some of the callers that are on the lines. If you saw it, the women's soccer team had their equal pay lawsuit shot down. The judge just said, this is ridiculous. There is a contract that was signed. You signed it. You signed a bad contract. When you sign a bad contract that was not entered into in bad faith, you were not scammed into signing it. You were not tricked into signing it. But you enter into a contract with someone, you do not have a right, because then you say, wait a minute, I signed a crappy contract here. I need to be released from this contract so I can have a second shot at it. That's not how the world works. But the women's soccer programs thought, well, we deserve equal pay. Equal pay. The judge threw it out. They signed a bad contract. They weren't tricked into signing it. The judge just threw it out and said, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But more importantly, and here's something you need to know on this women's soccer and pay story. The women's team got offered the same exact pay structure as the men's team. They were offered the exact same deal. But you see, they didn't want that deal. They didn't want it. Because the men's salaries and money is tied to the kind of money that they bring in. So if the women agreed to do the metrics that the men's contracts are calculated off of, the women would make less. They're actually getting a better deal than they would if they had the same deal the men have. And the judge threw it out. Good. Good for the judge throwing it out. If there's a word and you hear it before, if there's a word that annoys me, it's fair. This is fair. This wasn't fair. Dude, this soccer story is ridiculous. It's not fair. Stop with the fair. I got a 16-year-old daughter, and her and I butt heads from time to time on different issues. But one of the things she knows is, don't say, well, Dad, that's not fair. The minute the fair word comes up, I'm like, stop. Stop with the fair. Come back, round back to me with a better argument. We'll get back into this. Find me a better argument. Slater joins us in Cleveland. Slater, what's going on this morning? How's Screech?
Oh, man, he is a different Slater. I'm the actor.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You're James Slater or whatever. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you? Just getting off a 12-hour shift. I started at 7 o'clock last night.
What were you doing all night?
I assist in the manufacturing of plastic caps for everyday items, such as certain vitamins, mineral bottles, jelly. If you have a grape jelly, we have a grape jelly plastic cap, you know, the one that you can squeeze out.
Squeeze it through? Do you know that my wife yells at me every day about that? If I ever use it, she yells at me that I leave stuff on the, like, that I don't do it right. I don't, like, close it up right or something. So I'm going
to
need help.
As someone who sees these things every day, I can tell you there is a proper way to shut them.
Okay, well, that's the thing, is that she says I mess it up every day, but she's probably right.
We're men. We can't do anything right?
Men. Yeah, so what do you got going on?
So, as I'm going to play 18 holes of golf right now.
Good for you.
I wanted to tell you. And I also used to do programming for a sports show in college. So I wanted to kind of modify your idea, and you can actually get a good temperature of your fan base, too. Don't make it 25 years ago. Make it the best game, whatever it is, that...
Oh, you just broke up on us. No, and I can tell you, you broke up.
I can tell you some good stories.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, Slater, here's the problem, and I appreciate your call, is that on a national radio show, if you're doing a show in a bubble, you're doing a show in Atlanta, you're doing a show in New York, you're doing a show in Cleveland, and you want to talk about a Browns game from 20 years ago, an Indians game from 20 years ago, there's a good chance you're fishing in a barrel there of people who care about the Indians and who care about the Browns, who care about, if you're in Atlanta, care about the Falcons, care about the Braves. If you do that on national radio, 95% of the audience doesn't give a flip about the game you're talking about and then is bored silly. They're not. Dan in Tulsa joins us. Beautiful Oklahoma. It's pretty flat out there, isn't it, Dan? It's pretty flat out there.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I checked the CDC website, 10 minutes ago, and it had 37,308.
I just gave it to you. I just and I just put it out there on my Twitter feed. It is on their main page. You can't get it. It's right on their main page.
If you go to another point on their website, it says 64,000.
Correct. Because they incorporate in those numbers, they're incorporating people that had pneumonia and COVID, and they're putting in it, and they're also incorporating people who had influenza and COVID. The deaths that are just from COVID that are attributed.
For a while, but
I'll tell you this. The folks at the CDC, you're breaking up on us too, Dan. The folks at the CDC do a damn good job, man. And it bothers me when I hear people say, well, they've made mistakes. Or Dr. Fauci's made mistakes. Guess what? Acknowledge that every single person in this entire pandemic, your governor, your governor, your local officials, your president, your Congress, your Senate, everybody, the medical experts, every one of them have made mistakes during this pandemic. And you know what? I make mistakes at my job every week, and my job is inconsequential compared to what they're dealing with. I don't expect them to be perfect. But I appreciate the folks at the CDC that theirs is a more, I don't need to get numbers from Fox News or CNN or MSNBC on this. I don't need to get it because I know they're feeding me a story through the prism that they want me to consume it. The CDC is doing some really great work and they got some really people. And guess what? I don't expect them to be perfect. If I'm not perfect in my job, I don't expect them to be perfect in theirs. Keen in Wisconsin joins us. Keen, what's going on, brother?
I want to get your take on Brett Favre's comment, and I'll use the quote, burnt a bridge that may that, not be
that the Packers burn a bridge with Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
What do I think about it? Well, first off.
Absolutely.
First off, I believe that you now have, there's Brett Favre had an axe to grind. And now he's found a kindred spirit in Aaron Rodgers, a guy that he wouldn't even mentor when Aaron Rodgers right. was beginning his career. So those two had no common ground at all. But now that Aaron Rodgers may have an axe to grind, like Brett Favre, now the two of them can somehow bond over this, is okay. what I would figure.
Do you think Brett Favre was talking, or was he actually using Aaron Rodgers' words?
I think that Brett Favre, if he says he talked to Aaron Rodgers, he must have. I find that funny, considering he had no time for Aaron Rodgers when he could have actually helped him.
Back in the day, that was true, but now they're like the best buddies.
Oh, yeah, now they're best buddies because they have a common enemy. Here's Keen. Here's what I always tell you. Nothing All unites right. people better than a common enemy. If you have a common enemy, if you both feel like you're – if you both are hypersensitive individuals that don't understand business – that don't understand how the business works, and you think that you should be involved in all the decision-making and everything like that in the business you work in, they're going to now bond over this. And so that's what they're going to do. I trust the Packers, and here's why. The Packers have managed to stay a relevant franchise for a generation now between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is the right move. But the Packers organization has done a better job of staying relevant than three quarters of the franchises have in the NFL during the same time period. So I'm going to trust that the Packers have a plan and that it can work out to sustain something. Thank you for your call, man. I want to talk to Mac in Alaska. Mac, how are you this morning, brother?
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Yeah, real quick, I'm the last call, he called about the Packers, which is what I was calling to ask you as well.
What's that?
So, a lot of teams, you know how they talk about the rookie window for the contract? And I kind of think that, like, Rodgers has more time than the amount of Jordan Love's contract will be with the team, right?
Okay.
But what I
right.
wanted to ask you is, so you said that you had a background working in a financial industry.
Yeah, back in the day, yes.
Okay, so what do you think of this? So somebody pointed this out to me that, like, the District of Green Bay, after Rodgers' career, that they can't really afford to have, like, too much heavy fluctuation because their economy depends so much on the team. So I just kind of wondered what you kind of thought about
well,
that
here's,
situation.
Well, here's what I would tell you. That's nonsense. And the reason why is the Green Bay Packers went a generation before Brett Favre. They went like a 20-year period where they were basically irrelevant in the NFL. They were a non-factor. And the NFL's revenues back that time and the value of the franchise and everything like that was minuscule compared to what it is today. So there is no problem. Just the value of the franchise alone of the Green Bay Packers, that value of the franchise goes up every year. They're in no financial issues and everything like that. And by the way, the community of Green Bay is going to support the franchise. And they're going to support them. And they're going to do just fine. They're going to do just fine. They're the franchise worth alone has just gone up so exponentially since since the year, what, if you're just talking about a generation, so I'll just go back to the year 2000. Franchise values have more than quadrupled. The average franchise has more than quadrupled in a generation. So I think it'll be okay. Even if Aaron Rodgers goes away, the economy of Green Bay is not going to fall apart. Not so sure about anything else, though. All right, we got 1 hour to go. We got a lot coming your way. Barrett Salee talks college football with us. But the return plan for the NFL, I like it. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.